In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I, surprisingly, found myself at a baseball game on the 4th of July, which is about as American as you can get. The game isn't really the point of this sermon, though. As an aside, I will tell you that it was very exciting with a Brewers four-run comeback and two extra innings. They lost, but I actually want to talk about the pregame festivities because it was the 4th of July, so there was a fuller pregame than usual. National anthem, helicopter flyovers, veterans throwing out pitches, and even a giant flag unfurled across the entire outfield. There were even some fireworks, even though it was midday. But what struck me most was a video that they played up on the huge screen. The movie started with a reminder that the quincentennial, the 250th anniversary, of the signing of the Declaration of Independence is coming up in 2026. The actor narrating the video was urging all Americans to gear up and get ready to honor this important milestone in our nation's history. He said this while a big green combine drove over the amber waves of grain and a screeching bald eagle flew across the sky. For me, it was a little much. And I prepared to tune out for a few minutes. At this point, I have to talk about a part of myself I don't usually share in sermon, but I like to keep a little distance between my professional life and my personal life. But in this case, I think the blurring of those lines can be helpful in trying to understand the gospel message a little better, so I'll risk it. One of the reasons that I tune out most things that are overtly patriotic is not because I wasn't taught to love the country. I was. My dad was a veteran, and once my mom literally would not let my brother and I go play with our friends until we could sing the entire national anthem back to her. She was a mute. So patriotic values were taught in my home. But as an adult, I quickly realized that the America I was taught to respect was not actually built for me. As a sexual minority in the country, I learned that the laws around marriage and sexual activity were written to disadvantage and often criminalize my life. And so at some point, I sort of made peace with the idea that our founding documents did not include me, and that our government is hostile to me at worst, and ambivalent to me at best. I'm guessing that most queer people go through something like this, and I have to imagine that women and immigrants and people of color also have to figure out their own accommodation with the dominant culture in our country. And so now, maybe it makes a little more sense why I was so ready to tune out the video as the patriotic music swelled and they started showing old-timey paintings of the founding fathers and the battles of Lexington and Concord. So imagine my surprise when the video said something about the forced removal of Native Americans off their land. And then it highlighted the casual cruelty of the Jim Crow South and the plague of chattel slavery. I kind of couldn't believe what I was seeing. We were at a ballpark on the 4th of July, and there was a video laying out some of the greatest sins of the American experiment in front of everyone. I am so used to patriotism being a gloss on our history that I was stunned when the narrator said out loud on Independence Day that there have been real, terrifying human costs in our national story. And then, and this is really the heart of the gospel for me this morning, this video showed a picture of the Stonewall Inn in New York. And for those of you who don't know, Stonewall was a bar frequented by sexual minorities and gender non-conforming folks in the 60s. And in 1969, after a raid, the patrons rose up in rebellion against the police. Gay kids and drag queens and trans people fighting off armed officers in the streets of Chelsea. This was the spark that blazed into a fully formed gay rights movement, of which I'm a direct beneficiary. But here's the thing. When I was growing up, Stonewall was kind of secret knowledge, passed around, only to other people, kind of whispered. The reason we have pride festivals in June is to commemorate this rebellion, but most people don't know it. It was always a part of history that was kind of covered up by the larger narrative of the greatness of America. So, knowing what you know now about this history and about my own life, please imagine what it was like for me to look up on the 4th of July at a baseball game in Wisconsin and see myself invited into the story of America in a way I don't ever remember being invited. I absolutely welcome. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The church has its own gnarled history, and it has its own problems with telling the truth about its story. And the church has historically had a hard time getting its big red doors open wide enough for everyone. But that is precisely what our founding was about. Jesus taught his friends along the way. He reached out to the poor, the disenfranchised, the women, the Samaritans, the tax collectors, the sex workers, and anyone who would have been stepped on or kicked out of the centers of power in Jerusalem. "Come to me," he says, "all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." We need to get those words carved into the stone above the doors of our church, or maybe worked into the design of the new parish hall. This message, this is the message, this is the gospel. And as I sat at that ballpark, seeing myself invited into a story that I'm typically excluded from, I had a real sense of the gravity of the work that we are called to in the church. We are to seek out the least and the lost, and to remind them that they are part of us. They are members of the same body of Christ, and we are part of them. This is the room in which to lay down burdens and to be healed. We are an incomplete church without everyone around the table. We have to be honest about the places we have fallen short of Jesus' vision. And in every generation, strive to be more like Christ in our welcome to the stranger. And as we think about this holy work, let us not underestimate its importance in the lives of those who walk through these doors. It can be life or death. As Christians, we are not allowed to tell a partial story of God's redeeming work. It is our duty to show the whole video, the one in which everyone gets to be up on that screen, showing us a story a little closer to the one that Jesus told.